This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It is a new dawn in Kuala Lumpur on Monday, the 29th of November, 7:07 in the morning. This is The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Philip C. and Wong Xiaoning. But first, we recap how markets closed on Friday, and no surprise there.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
It was a total rout, I think, worries over Omicron. The US markets all were down. Dow was down 2.5%, S&P 500 down 2.3%, Nasdaq down 2.2%. That negative sentiment also transferred over to Asia across the board. So all red, Nikkei was down 2.5%, Hang Seng down 2.7%, Shanghai Composite also negative, down 0.6%, STI down 1.7%, FBM KLCI back home. Down 0.4%.
Completely red. It was a red wipeout.
It was a total wipeout.
And to better understand what's moving markets, we have on the line with us this morning Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Good morning, Vishnu. Happy Monday. I hope it's happy for you as it is for us. Anyways, even though not for the stock markets. Stock markets tumbled on Friday as investors dumped risky assets on concerns over the Omicron variant. How do you think markets will react this week?
Good morning. And yes, I think the ads just now was very apt to wake up and smell the coffee. I think there's really a rather visceral reflex to get into haven trades. And one might think there are two reasons for this. One is, I think heading into the holidays, anyone who's made enough money in the stock market is going to think they'd much rather close their position in the midst of all this uncertainty. So they might rather hang on to gains than to lose in the final stretch that you were referring to earlier. And the other thing is, on Omicron, there's a lot more that we don't know than we know. Pfizer and some others have said they may take a week to find out, very important details such as transmissibility, virulence, and I think most importantly, resistance to vaccination, because at the end of the day, we ought to be in the mindset that if vaccination rates are up, then the risks should diminish. But obviously, we don't know all that we need to know about efficacy. And that's why I think markets are, to put it mildly, skittish.
And Vishnu, if I look at markets, right, traders, I think last week pushed back the expected timing of the first 25 basis point rate increase by the Fed to July from June. Do you think this is going to happen? Do you think that Omicron is going to change the way central banks are going to time the tightening of their monetary policy?
I mean, that's a great question. And my most candid answer is I don't know. But you're right that that's what markets are betting on, because the depth of the move in the bond markets arguably was more shocking than the one that we saw in equities, because you don't ordinarily see bond yields dropping by 14 to 18 basis points. And that's exactly what happened across the curve. So given how it dropped, the speed with which it did, suggests two things. Markets are at the margin betting that the step up that they were expecting to see and taper is now being tempered somewhat. And rate hike bets are also being pushed up. So in short, I think markets do anticipate that the Fed would somehow incorporate this uncertainty into their calculus. But really, I think clarity on this will only emerge in 2 weeks. And it's very difficult to project because this is a binary thing. It's either going to be declared as a real risk to look out for or something manageable.
So I think it's a wait-and-see approach before they decide whether they take any intervention. Vishnu, I want to get your perspective on inflation and especially how it affects world food prices, because last month we hit its highest level since 2011, according to the United Nations. Is food inflation going to be a serious issue in countries like Malaysia and Singapore?
I think it is, and there are two reasons. One is what you rightly point out, which is food inflation in its own right is high. The other is its inconvenient timing, that it is high at a time when a lot of other prices are also rising together. They don't always do this lockstep dance, but unfortunately, it's a little bit of a upside to all prices amid supply disruptions. And the irony here is Omicron might actually accentuate inflationary pressures because of the supply side kinks whereas even as demand declines, that may not be fully reflected as downside flexibility in prices. The key question, however, is how are central banks then going to react to this if demand is not as strong, but inflation is clearly uncomfortable? I think the policy dilemma for sure is something that will not abate for a while.
And speaking of inflation, will the recent retreat in oil prices offer any respite to inflationary pressures, or are other structural factors dominating the reflation narrative?
For a while now, we've thought that oil was going to turn disinflationary next year, because even if you were to bump up oil prices to $100 and hold it there throughout next year, it would start turning disinflationary into the late part of 2022 very quickly. And so we never did think that oil was going to be the one that's going to, really ruffle the feathers at the Fed or anywhere else. Instead, as you rightly point out, it would be other factors, the spillover. So I think things like whether it's spilling over into wages, whether they've got difficulty getting workers back, whether it's due to the Great Resignation or truly, self-reinforcing upside in a wage price spiral. So those elements may be a lot more worrying for central banks than is oil. And I think we'll find out this week that, with the Omicron there, Omicron could overwhelm OPEC in terms of how it dictates oil movement.
Yeah, Vishnu, I mean, when we look at oil, like you rightly point out, it's actually rebounded from a low on Friday. But I want to turn our attention to employment, because job data is going to come out. And this is in the US. I mean, what kind of numbers are you expecting? And what is that going to tell us about the pace of economic recovery in the US?
Let me skirt that question first and reframe it another way. Given the job losses the worst of job losses was last year in April and May, and since then, the US has made back almost 90% of the jobs. And so even at a more subdued recovery pace of somewhere between 200 to 400,000, one can easily say that the narrative for a mid-year hike could be in place so long as you don't have risks such as Omicron. So in other words, what I'm trying to say, without being disrespectful to the data, is really this week, the data don't matter. I think it's Omicron that set a very high bar and hijacked the thoughts on policy.
Vishnu, thanks as always for your comments. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, setting the stage for us in terms of what markets are going to be look out for in the coming week.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.